CliffCentral.com.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Here we are live on a Friday. You made it to the end of the week. It was so hot yesterday that people were melting in the street. It looked like it anyway. Do you also feel like the temperatures were way too high for your body to be able to handle it?
Yeah, it's meant to rain. This is the thing. It's like the sprinklers are broken now, even in this place.
Yeah, right. Well, you are at Friday, which means you can pretty much do whatever you want for the next 2 days. And that means for many people, just walking around with very little clothing on, trying to keep themselves cool.
Nice.
You know, the kind of nice summer stuff that we wait all year for. I think it's awesome.
And I hope I hope you've done enough in the year to be worth looking at in limited clothing. Because that's another aspect of summer.
Yeah, well.
Public courtesy.
Yeah, that's a big part of it.
Public courtesy.
Yeah. If you look like absolute shit by December, and you know, and even if you're hot, you have no right to take off your clothes.
Well, and let that be a lesson for next year. See, it's all about cycles, right? Just get it right.
Absolutely. All right, so how are you, Ben?
Gareth, it's been a trying couple of days, but I'm fine. I'm happy it's Friday. I just need to get through this week. I feel like Black Friday week is probably the worst of humanity. I mean, in my line of work, it's this endless sort of it's like a cacophony of jabberings when it comes to people just trying to do things just for the sake of attention, and it's very draining. And I get it; that's how the world works, that's how retail works. But it's just humans just doing shit for nothing, really. And I find it so draining. That on the heat, and I feel like I've melted mentally and physically this week.
There is a cacophony of jabberings at that corner. Please come to silence.
And that corner is basically like everyone nowadays, because everyone's talking about Black Friday.
We shop them all. Well, okay, so here's my problem is I'll take any advice from anybody in the comments section, frankly, on this. I have to do some grocery shopping, so it's not like I have to go and buy anything in particular. But I probably should avoid that today, right?
If you could. But you don't really eat anything other than tomatoes. So, I mean,
that's true.
You could probably go to some putt stall like 20 meters from your house.
Yeah, I mean, I could buy it from a caravan if I needed to.
Exactly. That local gypsy woman. It's probably there.
There we go.
Tending those tomatoes with her small hands.
And then doing tarot card readings while you know, in case you want change, she goes, no, instead I give you tarot card reading. And you're like, okay, I'll do that.
Well, I mean, maybe your tarot card reading is you don't need any more shit in your life. Because this is what people get so caught up in this whole thing. I mean, again, this is just, it's not even Black Friday. I think it's just where we are as humans. It's like we need more things. People always believe they need more things. And ultimately, it's like looking at more social media. It doesn't actually make you happy. It just fills whatever void you have in other things.
Especially looking at social media on Black Friday, because it's all specials for stuff you don't need.
Well, is it specials? Because I know that people do the whole, is it called price gouging? Or what's the whole thing where they say there's a discount, but it's actually the normal price?
Yeah, it's not specials. I this is the point. Ryan and I were talking about this before the show began, and he's like, well, you know, if you were getting like 70% off of stuff, then it would be, oh, wow, it's worth getting excited about Black Friday. Hmm. If they're going to give you like, you know, 10% off, I'm sorry. The retailers who do that are just criminals. They're just crooks.
But something else to consider is that we have a very weak rand, right? The rand is not a weak
rand.
It's quite a weak
very
thing.
Poor.
So
very poorly.
Margins, anything that's been imported, the margins are really poor because we pay a lot for it. So don't think that retailers are going to go, hey, 40%. Like, they don't actually have the margin for these things as well. So unless it's something that's being produced locally that nobody wants, that's where you get your margin, because local production, surplus of supply, they can cut the price. So if you're looking for big savings, look for that one.
And as I said to a friend of mine, we were talking about this the other day, what is South Africa's greatest export? And the truth, and I'm not being horrible here, but the truth is, no, poverty. We are very good at selling poverty. That's like our story. So, you know, politicians are all like poverty. So that's what we've got, I'm afraid. So, okay, when you talk about Black Friday, though, being a reflection of what we are as humans, that's very depressing.
It is somewhat depressing.
I find that very sad.
But don't you think, I mean, not that I'm trying to kick off the show with a depressing note here, but don't you think there's a lot of truth in that people, they fixate about buying stuff all the time because that's going to make them, I don't know, happier or have more things, and that's better. As I get older, yeah. This kind of stuff hits home with me because I used to be the jackass who'd want to buy shit endlessly. And it's like just general gifting season as well. It's like I actually get very nervous around gifts because as an adult, I pretty much got every single thing that I want. So if someone goes through the time and the effort to buy me something, I get super nervous because if I don't like it, I don't need it. And it's like, shit, you just wasted all this money.
So when people hear you say you've got all the things you want, what they hear is Ben is very rich and Ben is very spoilt and Ben has lots of stuff. But that's not what you mean.
No,
what you mean is you don't need a lot to keep you happy.
Absolutely not.
Right?
No, I've just become more pragmatic with life. Like, I don't need a lot of things. I'm just trying to find ways of getting rid of things that are not accumulating them.
So you're wearing a shirt that says Vaisio Flace, and that goes back to what we were saying earlier about it being
summer, Vaisio Flace all day.
To show off, yeah. So I don't know if you mentioned to me that you've already made your plans for December and you kind of know what you're doing, everything else. That's somewhere where I wouldn't mind a Black Friday popping up because I have no idea. And if I saw like a really interesting holiday offer or, you know, something, just, even just a weekend away, frankly, it doesn't have to be expensive either. I'd take that up. I'm looking for a, you know, just a fun little weekend away, something cool, maybe take, two or three days either with family or friends and just go away somewhere close even. I'm not even fussy about it. It doesn't have to be, you know, somewhere far away or exotic or extravagant or anything like that.
No, it should always be something you want to do. But then again, you're dealing with everyone else doing it at the same time. And that's the hardest thing about this time of year with travel.
Yeah. Okay, so everybody's talking when I was on this trip to Greece and Rome just a short while ago, they were all talking about Saudi Arabia and how that's become the cool tourist destination of the future because they're building that huge big hotel in the middle of the desert. They're going to have like snow skiing and Prince Mohammed bin Salman, who's the crown prince of Saudi Arabia, is apparently like a really forward-thinking guy and he realizes that, you know, they can't just rely on oil forever. So they've got to come up with other things that they can sell. And one of the big things they could sell is tourism because, you know, he's taking a leaf out of the Dubai book. And they're building that enormous, long kind of mirror thing in the desert too. And it looks pretty damn impressive, I'll tell you what. I'd be interested in going there, provided it didn't cost an arm and a leg.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, like, because they have to attract the world. So much like Dubai in the beginning, they had to attract the world. So it was actually quite a... Oh, look, it's a luxury place, but it's still relatively affordable. And yeah, they're doing so many interesting things because it's become so competitive. You know, there's lots of options for travel. And they're looking at Dubai going, yeah, well, we can definitely do that. And we can do it bigger and we can do it better. I've been watching
They have even more money.
Well, yeah, because they basically are like the parent of someone like a Dubai. But I sometimes get into these sort of rabbit holes of watching construction videos, and then you'll get like a video with guy talking really quickly about the 10 mega structures currently in development, and like four or five of them are in Saudi Arabia. So I think it's I need to fact check this, but Saudi Arabia is trying to get the Winter European Games or something, and they've literally found this place. It's like it's the highest part of Saudi Arabia, right? And they're going to make it into like a ski resort. But they are literally making winter, basically. So they're building a winter wonderland where there'll be. It's not like that place in China where remember that one ramp? It was just like a single ramp, bit of snow on it, and there was just like squatter around it. They physically are actually making like a hilltop winter destination for an actual European Olympic, well, Winter Games.
It's true what they say. You can do anything with money.
Yeah, you can. And people say, no, but there's certain things you can't. And I disagree. I think if you're a decent enough person, you can do absolutely everything with money.
Not even decent. You could be a really horrible person and you could like have your money established, I don't know, child sex ring or something. But you just have to have lots and lots of cash and you can get anything done that you want.
Yes.
You could be Jeffrey Epstein or you could be Prince Mohammed bin Salman, you know?
Yeah, you'll find your niche. So yeah, I'd love to go to Saudi Arabia at some stage. It's really, really pretty. There's a couple of those like Oman is also worth going to apparently.
Yeah.
And then even, you know, there's certain places around the Mediterranean that people don't even talk about. Obviously, not the time of year now, but to think of somewhere like Albania, that's also pretty decent. There's all these different places. There's all these different places. If you look just like another sort of notch here and there, and they're all very competitive for the travel money. I mean, that's the best way to build an economy, right? Where you don't have resources or other things like this place.
And you better do it soon because, you know, if Russia decides to nuke Ukraine or something, then it won't be there for very long.
Yeah. But speaking about
reality,
about major structures, you know, like Dubai always, it's almost like they have to do this thing where they come together and go, what are we building now that's going to be the next biggest thing? And prior to COVID, they were looking to build the biggest ever Ferris wheel, basically, like observation thingy. You know, you get the,
like the London Eye that wheel in Cape Town.
So being in Dubai, what they did was they reclaimed this patch of land and then they were going to make it like this own little island attraction. So it would have this thing. It's the AIN Dubai. It's going to have that. Okay. It's going to have, obviously, hotels. It's going to have retail. It's going to have restaurants, all those kind of things. And you could also live there in apartments. And it took them, I think, about 6 years to build. It was meant to take about 2 years, but then COVID happened. And then they created the greatest – this thing's ridiculous. It's almost double the size of London Eye, which is – that's the whole thing with them, is right? They've got to keep pushing to new frontiers. But this thing has also not been working for the last 18 months. It's basically now just – doesn't work. Balls. It doesn't work. So people are saying that.
So what is sitting there?
What's that?
It's just sitting there and gathering dust?
It is. AIN Dubai. It's just sitting there. It's been 18 months. If anyone who lives in Dubai can tell me more, but it's all very hush-hush. You go onto the website and it's like we're currently upgrading facilities or some stuff and it's going to be closed for the time being. But it is this gigantic thing. And then obviously no one goes to this little piece of reclaimed land anymore. And you look at this and go, that is like a daily reminder that you guys have actually maybe pushed things a bit too far. So like people who work on the island said that when this thing turns, the entire island shakes and vibrates and like windows break.
Oh, shit.
Because it's just so incredibly gigantic. Like it's just too big for what they want to do.
What a mess.
So you look at that.
That sounds terrible.
And it's not like, it's just, it's you can't get away from it. It's just part of the skyline now, but it doesn't work. And it must be such a massive embarrassment for them because it's one thing if those islands didn't work. It's an island, right? You can't see it. You know, it's there somewhere. But this thing is in your face all day, not working.
It sounds absolutely stupid, but this is also what happens. You see, that's the obverse of the coin, or the reverse rather of the coin. When you have lots of money and you can do lots of things, you also waste lots of money.
Yeah, you get too
far. And if you're a country or a government, you have deep, deep pockets to waste. Look at the stupid things our government has done. They put up that they were going to put up that huge big statue, and then they decided to change their mind.
Well, they wanted the big flagpole.
Huge flagpole. There are a whole lot of stupid things that they've wanted to do too.
Minister,
but I do admire this. I think you feel the same way I do about this, is that if we were building something truly amazing, like let's say some absolutely beautiful monument out of stone or something that really, you know, would last for hundreds of years and people would look back on it in like 500 years time and go, look at that thing that those people in 2023 built. I'd be proud of that.
Yeah,
but they're not thinking of that stuff.
I often look at that as well. It's that people don't actually care about that because they've got to make money. You know, people used to talk, we spoke about this, people used to talk about legacies and how they'll be remembered as people. Now it's about commercial success. And that whole big wheel in Dubai, if that thing worked, I mean, you could hire out the little pods, you could have your own birthday in there, you could like a club, whatever.
Yeah.
They were just trying to make more money. They weren't trying to build anything truly beautiful.
Well, that's also what happens so much in this country, is that, you know, people, companies especially, so busy trying to like add to the bottom line. And we were talking about this yesterday with Pumi. It's like accountants, when they take over, they make everything boring and nothing pretty. So that's kind of where we're at. And just to prove the point, I want to show you, this is so awful. This makes me throw up a little bit in my mouth, but it's so, so typical of like the corporate world. So, you know, the corporate world has ruined pretty much everything that is creative and lovely in the world. And here are some examples of corporate Christmas cards. If that doesn't make you a little bit queasy. I don't know what will. I hope you achieve your Christmas KPIs moving forward.
Wow.
We wish you an outcomes-focused Christmas and an agile new year.
That's pretty funny, though.
It's so bad. Can you imagine the people who... The people who would like a card like this are exactly the kind of people I never want to have in my life. Have a best-in-class integrated end-to-end Christmas.
But I feel like the people who made this aren't these kind of people. This is a pure piss take. The people who don't like this in life won't even find the humor.
It's a total piss take, but I that brilliant. Part I do like. And then inside it says, let's reach out, circle back, and touch base in the new year. Wow. Here's to holiday solutions that ladder up to your overarching deliverables in the Christmas space.
That's brilliant.
Isn't that great? But I mean, this is how people in companies talk. Right, that's probably why I find it so revolting. But
it's kind of
if you work in a
corporation,
actually, how people talk to each other.
Imagine you hear that all year, and someone actually gives that to you. You don't see the joke. How mad you would be.
Well, I think there are some people who wouldn't actually understand that it's meant to be funny, and they would think, "Oh, well, that's a good car. Yeah, I should really give that to Clive. He's a good sales guy. He would appreciate that message for Christmas." I could see people enjoying that.
We're getting comments, Gareth, asking where Simpiwe is. Do you want to spread some light?
Good point. Simpiwe is not, there's nothing wrong with her. She's just, she's taking the day off. She's got a long weekend this weekend. So don't worry about Simpiwe. She'll be back next Friday.
Black Friday is harder than any of us, clearly.
Oh, she does. That's true. She's going to be hitting those stores with a vengeance.
She's currently in a queue somewhere, actually. We should really get Ryan to call her, standing outside of Macro or something.
That would be very funny because I'm pretty sure she's standing outside some massive shop waiting for like 20% off a TV or something. We'll find out. 20% next week.
She'll make sure she gets 40. You've heard her game plans.
Yeah. No, that's true. That's absolutely right. Okay. So one or two other things. I noticed yesterday was Thanksgiving in America.
Oh, right.
And I think it's quite cool to... Like if there was a holiday that we could do with in South Africa, it would be Thanksgiving. Because really the idea of being grateful and showing some gratitude is never a bad idea. Mm. That's the whole thing behind Thanksgiving. There are all kinds of historical precedents for it and all that sort of stuff. But essentially what it is you sit down with your family. It's a pre-Christmas thing. It's the start of the holidays in America. You sit down with your family and you go around the table and everybody says something that they're grateful for. And I wonder if South Africans did that, whether we wouldn't be so bitter and resentful about so many things. Because I do hear a lot of people moaning and complaining. Hey, I moan and complain a lot. But it might be a fun exercise to do here, even though it's just you and I this morning. I mean, like, what are you really grateful for going into the end of the year? Because it shouldn't be hard for people to pick one thing that they're actually pleased about, that they're thankful for, that they have some gratitude in their hearts for.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I'm grateful for, I've got a great family. I love them very much. I've got a great life partner. I love her very much. She's cool. I love my business partners. They're great people. I love my golf course where I play golf. Basically, there's about 23,000 things.
Are you grateful for your Christmas KPIs moving forward?
Yes, that too. Because I'm going to circle back to that in a second. But I'm grateful for every single day, actually. Gratitudes have been a huge thing that's been the biggest add-on in my last sort of 2 years. You know, every single day I find something that makes me really, really laugh about so many things. Like I'm grateful for two or three WhatsApp groups that make any situation funny, even though it's really nothing to share with other people because they might not understand the humor. But I'm grateful for like the one friend who finds something funny about, I don't know, this like just one niche that I have a friend just for that on. And I'm grateful for the fact that there isn't a dull hour in my day. Like there literally isn't. I have so many different facets that go towards that. So yeah, I think people should do this because being grateful means that you can actually find something in this tiniest little niche in your life. And that's cool because that makes you, takes to bigger things.
It's even bigger than that because if you have, if you are a grateful person and you are genuinely thankful for some things in your life, that completely erases bitterness and resentment.
Yeah.
It's the real antidote to that stuff. So if you find that you're a very angry, very sullen, very bitter, very jealous, resentful, unhappy person, the best way to get out of that is to find something that you can be grateful for and to remind yourself of that daily. I met a guy yesterday. Let me see if his book is here. I don't know where the book is, but he's an Afghanistan war veteran. Mm-hmm. He lost his arm in Afghanistan in 2009. He subsequently went on to win Paralympic gold for cycling.
Wow.
He climbed Mount Everest. He's been to the North Pole. This is all with one arm, right? And the guy, he very nearly lost his life in Afghanistan. There is not a stitch, and I mean this, and we'll play out the interview soon. You're going to love this guy. His name is Yaku van Gaas. He's actually from South Africa. He joined the British Army, and he went off to Afghanistan, and he tells us in detail what happened on the day that he lost his arm and how it all happened and kind of what the place is like. And I mean, just such unbelievable detail. But you'll hear in the interview, this guy, despite having lost an arm in a war which most of us think was a waste of time, he has no bitterness, no resentment, no anger. He's just grateful that he survived. And he's making such a contribution in the world today. And I marvel at people like that. You see, when someone says, that's very inspiring, they don't actually mean that. What they mean is it makes them feel good.
Yeah.
But this guy, sitting with him yesterday, and I said to Dori and the rest of the team afterwards, after I'd interviewed him, they were like, how was the interview? And I said, it was probably my favorite interview of the year.
Nice.
And, you know, I've met some truly amazing people this year. But I have to say that this guy, and he brought his wife along, and she's also just, you know, a really bubbly, lovely person. But to think about how many of us would be able to come out of losing an arm and you'd be okay. You'd kind of carry on with your life and make something of it. I think that's phenomenal. I really do. I'm just absolutely blown away by people like that. And this guy, that's inspiring to me. And why it's inspiring to me is not just because it makes me feel good. It's because I think how lucky I am, first of all. So there's a bit of schadenfreude. Like, I've got both arms and they both work.
Yeah.
You know, something simple like that. There's also, by the way, there's this guy at gym, one of the gyms that I go to regularly. And he's got like one arm. And he trains just as hard as everyone else. And I think, wow. He doesn't make excuses. He's not one of these people sitting at home going, so much work to actually get dressed and go to gym. And I don't know if I'm going to bother. He could quite easily sit on his backside and go, well, you know what? I've got one arm, so I'm never going to be able to do certain things. But he doesn't. He gets up, he goes to gym every day. I think that's so goddamn good.
Well, it's about,
that blows my mind.
It's about your focus points, right? I mean, like, we all have stress. Like, I just told you about 20 things that I love. I've also got 20 things that really grate my balls every single day, because that's
sure.
Life. But if I was the kind of person that would only focus on those 20, not the other ones that I mentioned, then I'd be really grumpy. So this guy, yeah, great example. Got one arm. Imagine if he just focused on that, like, oh, well, I'm never going to be a wrestling champ. But he's not. He's
Carl
looking somewhere
else. He says, I'm grateful, as in full of great. Most people are just grateful that I'm in their lives. Well, that's the kind of humility we need in our existence.
See,
that's exactly right.
Carl's focus point is on his perceived greatness. If he had to realize, had to focus on reality, he'd be really upset. So good on you, Carl.
I mean, here's Madara, who's got something interesting to say. He says, I'm thankful that I have malaria and not cancer, elbow cough. Well, you know, it's the small things.
Exactly. There it is.
I'm grateful every day for how useless our government is. They couldn't pull off autocracy with George Orwell telling them what to do. Yeah. You can either look at it and go, oh my God, we live in such a shit country and the president is a useless guy and most of the ministers don't know what they're doing and nothing works. Or you could go, we live in the most free country in the world where you could pretty much do anything you want.
Yeah. Virus also makes a really good point. Imagine if your balls actually were grated. I mean,
that would be a very uncomfortable
that,
thing.
I'm grateful that my balls aren't actually being grated. It's happened to someone in the world. That's where the phrase came from, obviously.
You know what I'm grateful for as well? There's this restaurant that is walking distance from our office, and they make an unbelievable Greek salad. Like, unbelievable.
Wow, that's a...
And I mean, how much creativity can you have with a Greek salad? But when I tell you that this is the best salad, like, I sometimes think about that salad during the week, and I'm upset that I'm not there eating it, but I'm grateful that I can just go across the road to get it. So good is that salad.
I mean, is it also because the woman has a big moustache? Like, what makes it so incredibly special?
And I don't know. It tastes just
fresh olive oil. Best.
I don't know. Something about it that's just perfect. So I'm grateful for that. So there we go. That's our Thanksgiving for this morning. Aren't you impressed? Ben came up with a whole goddamn list, and I came up with a guy without an arm in Afghanistan and a Greek salad. But there we are.
See, yeah. Everyone's going to have those different things. Story. Yeah, but look, it's another thing you should also do at Christmas, perhaps. You know, we don't have Thanksgiving, and we shouldn't try to sort of steal other holidays and appropriate other things from other people, like Black Friday had become. So maybe it's something worth doing just on your birthday. I know, like, maybe because I'm in my 40s, but my birthday is next week, and it always makes me hugely introspective. Yes. But it's also a really good time to take stock of, like, how cool your life is and how cool the things are that you have.
Yeah, rather than feeling sad about some, you know, that you don't have this or you don't have that, or that you, I'm getting old or whatever.
Yeah.
That's a good point. I'm grateful for getting the hell out of corporate, says Proper Gender. Yeah. Yes. If you don't have one of those jobs where you have to clock in and clock out and, you know, fill in KPI reports, what every 3-4 months, imagine doing that. Snipes says Oscar Pistorius is coming out, apparently, another government. Look that way while comrades hide money using media, not just SABC. Well, I mean, he has been in jail for a while.
Has he?
And, you know, I think he's been in since 2014.
Has it been?
It's almost
long,
10 years. Yeah. It's almost 10 years. So, you know, we don't put murderers in jail for life in this country. And he was found guilty of murder. So he has to come out at some point. Well, I don't know when you want
that to be. I'm just pulling up an article here. When's this published? 22nd November. Okay. Oscar Pistorius could be freed by the weekend.
Hmm.
That's as in today, not the musician.
Well, hide your daughter. But that, other than that, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah. So today, Friday, the parole board gets together and has a look.
Right. He's got to come out eventually.
That'd be quite.
You can't keep the guy in jail forever.
That'd be quite a Black Friday ad, huh? Who's the first person to get Oscar on there?
Oh, who's thinking about to invite him for Christmas? That would be a whole different thing. Oh, listen, speaking of inviting people, we've got a special on, especially for all the people who listen to the Burning Platform. This is really a very limited, exclusive thing we're doing. Next Thursday, which is the 30th of November, we have an exclusive live viewing of the Burning Platform. It's going to be happening live. We will allow a studio audience in, and it'll be with me, Pumi, and Canthan, for the launch of Canthan's new book, which is called How to Fix South Africa. Here it is. An owner's manual. This is Canthan's new book, How to Fix South Africa, an owner's manual. And we will be doing that live. Now, if you want to be part of this conversation and stay for some coffee and croissants, then tickets are 150 Rand. I mean, it's nothing. It CompuTicket. That's really just to cover the costs. Come along. All you have to do is go into CompuTicket and just search Burning Platform. It's that easy. Going to CompuTicket, Burning Platform, the first couple of tickets. We've only got a few open. So if you want to be in, get in immediately. That's the Burning Platform live, happening at cliffcentral.com. Also, if you want to come and see our new digs, we're going to be doing that specially. So head on to CompuTicket and search Burning Platform. We'll also put some of those details up for those people who want to know. But if you want to go, that's what you got to do.
Amazing.
Got it?
You should be doing more live shows, Gareth, but we'll get into that. We'll circle back to that in a bit, and I'll tell you why with your golden thread. Before we get into sport, I just have to read you the opening paragraph of this Oscar story. So, like I said, the parole board decides today if he's going to come out. Yeah. And if all, I'm reading this word for word. And if all goes his way, the former athlete could be back at the Waterkloof Pretoria mansion of his uncle, Arnold Pistorius, where he is expected to serve his parole by as early as the weekend. Back at Uncle Arnold's Abbey, that's
Uncle
a full circle.
Arnold's Abbey. Yeah. That was one of our favorite soap operas for a long time. We used to have regular Uncle Arnold's Abbey right here on cliffcentral.com.
I remember, I think, writing that script every single whenever we used to do it, was the final straw of my body hating me.
It was so stupid. I found a video. Someone put up a video of like 10 years ago when we used to do those parody songs for Christmas. And I will admit, I laughed my ass off. It was Damon singing "This Christmas I'll Eat and I'll Fart."
Those are really good songs. They still work now.
Yeah, no, they're hilarious.
Because that's how Damon would do it.
Yeah, he would. It would sound exactly the same if you did it now. Okay, so let's look at this quickly. We've got Beyond the Scoreboard with Ben Karpinski. This is where we check in all the sport that's coming up over the weekend, what we'll be doing this weekend, what you can bet on, and we'll try and get some tips from Ben as well. So where do we begin?
Well, Gareth, I just want to tell you that we've got a great summer of cricket happening. I know we just lost the World Cup and we screwed that up. And obviously there's huge sort of people going, we did it again or we didn't do it again. But India are coming to SA for the festive season, essentially, which means huge amounts of money coming into cricket South Africa, which is good, which means they can survive for more years. But more importantly, pretty much the whole country gets a chance to see India, which is one of the best teams in the world. We've got T20s happening first. So December in Durban. Mm-hmm. December the 10th, Kibaha gets a game on the 12th of December and the 14th December in Joburg. Those are your T20s. Then we've got three ODIs, 17th December, Johannesburg, 19th back at Kibaha, 21st in Paarl. So three T20s, three ODIs, and then we've got the two token test matches. I know it won't be played as token. It'd be really cool if we had more of the test matches.
Why do you call them token test matches?
Because then, back in the day, a series used to be around test matches, and the one days would be kind of either side of that. It would be like a thing. But now it's all about getting the limited overs cricket up there. That's the big crowd pullers. And then they kind of just go, well, we'll have you two test matches. Because how do you have a test series with only two matches? It doesn't feel right. Three minimum should be the case.
But
the two test matches that you can enjoy are December 26th to 30th at Centurion. So there you go, Gareth. Screw your Black Friday holiday. Pack a cooler box, go to Centurion, get a vest tan, and just get like drunk on the banks. Can't go wrong.
I mean, it's right up the road. Exactly. I mean, what am I looking for? Everything is right here.
I like the finer things in life as much as the next person, but I'm also one of the people. And having a day at Centurion is one of the things that always makes my heart glow. It's just a nice place to get a little bit hammered. It is. It's cool. It's like a village oval with like infrastructure. It's really great. So then the final test match of the series will be 3 to 7 January in Newlands, which is still the best test ground in the entire world. Screw you, Adelaide. Yeah. It's amazing. So we've got all of these games to look forward to. There's cricket just taking up our whole festive season. Amazing. And our team isn't that shite. I know we didn't win the World Cup. We still got a good team. So that's something to look forward to on the cricket front. Last week was actually quite interesting, sort of Formula One, in that they went to Las Vegas. I know we've all tapped out of our Formula One being competitive because Verstappen won everything. Yeah. But it was really cool how they have taken it to Vegas and they made it happen. There was all kinds of drama over not working and drain covers being exposed and the fact that it was 2 a.m. in Vegas and it was cold, but it looked really cool. And this weekend, it also looks really cool because it's in Abu Dhabi. So it's the final Formula One. And just to kind of run some other sort of numbers by you, because again, obviously Verstappen's going to win this weekend, so it's not like something worth mentioning. But he is currently got 549 points for the season. Now, remember Lewis Hamilton used to be the everything of the sport, right? Lewis Hamilton's best season, 413 points. You get 25 points for a win. That is just incredible how much more dominant Verstappen has been. 18 wins, 20 podiums this season. His nearest rival is his teammate on 273 points with just the two wins.
Sure.
It is something to really marvel at. I know it's quite boring. But yeah, Abu Dhabi this weekend for the final Grand Prix of the year. There's also Joburg Open, which is happening this weekend here in Johannesburg at the Houghton Golf Club. Now, the Joburg Open, together with the Investec SA Open and Alfred Dunhill at Leopard Creek, are like the three big events here locally for golf. So they're co-sanctioned, meaning the DP World Tour is aligned with that. And the fields are damn good. Pretty much every big South African golfer will be at Houghton this weekend. Tristan Lawrence is currently at 8 under after the first round, leading by 3. So if you are in the area, I would suggest going to go watch there. If you're going to be hot and melting, you might as well do it in a nice place. And Houghton is really pretty. So that's something to look forward to. And of course, the SA Open coming up at Blair Athol, which is something we'll get into next week. And then on the rugby front, well, there are some bucks now finally filtering into the URC. So the Bulls backline for this weekend is looking shit hot. Friday first up, though, tonight, the Stormers will be away to Cardiff at 9:35. Saturday's game see Lions at home versus Zebre at 5-3. Bulls will be taking on Connor to just beat a really shy Sharks team by 1 point. They'll be at 5. The Sharks are hosting the Dragons. I don't know what to say about the Sharks, really. I'm just trying to stay positive, but that's not looking so great.
Why have I never, and I did hear you mention this a couple of weeks ago, but until this year, I didn't hear about Dragons or Zebre or any of this stuff. What is this?
Well, so the United Rugby Championship has teams from Wales. You know, we spoke recently about if there's any sort of funny names, it's probably going to be Welsh. So Dragons and Ospreys, and I don't know where these people come up with this stuff. And then the Irish, of course, so a place like Connaught, where I don't know where Connaught originates from, but I think it's because it's so cold and it's always windy there those are the sounds of the words. And then, of course, you've got traditional teams like Leinster versus Munster, which is the big game this weekend, 8:30. So, yeah, and some Italian teams like the Zebre.
Zebre.
Basically Zebre with an E at the end. So, yeah, so you learn a bit about Europe when you watch rugby. See, rugby is a very cultured sport. So those are your big sort of rugby championships, United Rugby Championships, URC things. And of course, like, football is still the biggest thing. I know people were talking about the Bafana building Chias and they beat Benin and we weren't impressed. And then they went and played Rwanda and they lost to Rwanda 2-0. So that little blip that people were giving me gears about not covering, there. Consider it covered.
There we are. Done. Yeah, so count that one in. Finished.
The Premier League right now is, well, Man City on top of the log there on 28, Liverpool 27, Arsenal 27. Spurs, who weren't beaten, they just lost their last two matches, so they've gone down to 26 points. Man City versus Liverpool on Saturday at 2:30, huge game. Newcastle versus Chelsea at 5, Brentford versus Arsenal at 7:30, and then Sunday, Spurs will be looking back, trying to get back into winning ways against Aston Villa at 4, and Everton versus Man United at 6:30. I don't want to be a downer, but I mean, it is at the end of the year, so it's not the most exciting sports things, but there's always stuff on the go, which is great. And of course, having cricket locally again means you can physically go watch the stuff. So that's something to look out for and be excited about, I guess.
Well, you've told me to go and watch some cricket at Centurion. How can I say no?
Yeah, Carl has had a very inappropriate comment, which I'd like to address and put him in his place instantly here. Carl says, Ben, what do international golfers think of our shitty courses and change rooms as they are as good as theirs? Is it embarrassing for us? Carl, the golf courses here are amazing. The facilities are right up there with the best in the world. So once again, you are talking out of your ass. And maybe if you were just not always going to Reading Golf Course in the South. I don't know where you live, but I'm assuming that.
Yeah.
No,
it's embarrassing. Tell him.
Houghton, great. It might not be the best course in the country because it's short and maybe not the best layout because they had to alter it, but it's beautiful. It's immaculate. Facilities are incredible. Blairthall is world class. Some of the best facilities you'll actually see. Leopard Creek is people on the DP World. People on the DP World Tour, they prioritize that as the best course of the year, as in it is the best course. It's the best course in the country. It's right next to the Kruger Park. You probably won't find, I would say it's in the top 10 most striking and dramatically incredible golf courses in the entire world. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Now give Carl shit because he obviously goes to a really shitty golf course.
Yeah. And Carl goes to some local municipal pitch and putt where someone's like peeing in the car park and now he wants to bring that to us. Carl, I literally, off the top of my head, I can tell you about for an hour how amazing golf courses are in this country and the facilities and the people who make it part of their lives.
Right. Okay. So there's a bit of a rebuke from Ben, especially for Carl this morning. He gets a bit uppity in the comments section there.
Because Carl gets a bit full of himself. No. Anyway, Gareth, let's not talk about Carl. Is there any sort of Black Friday-ing happening in our world of super bets?
Well, yes, there is, because this Black Friday, you can level up your gaming and betting experience with a 5% bonus deposit, which means that could be up to 5,000 Rand to play on any Play Vegas games or sport betting markets. Deposit between 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. today, the 24th of November, and you could claim your bonus and maximize your play and potential winnings. So Go to Beyond the Scoreboard on cliffcentral.com for more info and the terms and conditions. You can click through from there to Super Bets, and you can go and win. What would you bet on for this weekend? What's your tip for the weekend, Ben?
Wouldn't get the greatest odds, but I think Tristan Lawrence will go wire to wire at the Joburg Open. He was damn good in Dubai last week against like the best in the world, and he's opened up with an 8 under par. Yeah, and I just think that when it goes to football, yeah. See, the thing is, like, I would love to tell you with authority about the football stuff, but I just don't have a good enough handle on it. I mean, Man City are just so good, and that game against Liverpool is the big one to watch. So, yeah, you got to think that Man City, they started a bit stuttery. I would say back them now to really hit their straps, because this is a time where squads are really stretched over the festive season, and they have obviously the best squad.
Yeah. Very good. There's a proper solid tip. Go to Beyond the Scoreboard on cliffcentral.com. You'll find out all the info, and you can get a 5% deposit bonus. So if you put down, you know, $500, you will get 5% from them for nothing, just because it's Black Friday. So go along and take part in that today. Also got Temba Robin joining us a little bit later on. He's always fun, and he's been making some hilarious stuff on TikTok recently. I don't know if you've been watching, but he's made fun of Cyril. He's done a bunch of other really funny things there too. So if you haven't seen any of the stuff he's up to, then go and watch his, subscribe to his TikTok. And also at the same time, you can get him live on this show and you can find out whether it's worth it or not. Now, I want to know your thoughts on this. As you wake up this morning, I really think humanity is in a bit of a downward spiral. I see this story. Germany has the most amount of men who sit down to pee.
Wow, that's sad.
Yes.
That is so sad.
Yeah, 40% of men in Germany sit down to pee every single time. Collectively, these guys are known in Germany as Sitzpinklers.
Okay, I've got a couple of obvious questions right off the bat. Who wanted to do the survey, and who would admit to this survey?
Clearly, these guys are not embarrassed to admit that they are Sitzpinklers.
But where did the question come about? This is something I've never, never been curious about.
It's probably a university, because you know how they've run out of things to study and research that actually advance humanity. So now they're just looking at dumb stuff that is entry level, that people can say, oh, well, I studied this at university. And they do surveys like this. So here is the full league table of countries where men are most likely to sit down to urinate. And what a disgrace this is for the West, and frankly, in this list, for white people. Because let's look at it. We got Germany at the top, then Sweden, then Denmark, then Canada, then Australia, then Spain, Italy, France, the US at number 9, and then only Singapore breaking the kind of Western Europe and North America hoodoo there, and then Britain, Poland, and Mexico. Mexico, you've got a lot to be ashamed about by even being
surprised for Mexico. But now, would this have a lot to do with people just being obsessed with their phones? Because if you sit down, you can be on your phone and like, well, I'm going to sit down anywhere if I'm peeing or the other one.
I just think, this is just such an unmanly thing to do. I know we're going to get people who are all very new age and think that it's absolutely fine if men were to sit down and pee. I'm sorry, call me a traditionalist, but I don't think it's right. There are two things that I remember my dad saying when I was very little. As a boy, if the bathroom is full of girls and they're all lined up at any place, as a guy, you go out and pee outside, provided it's the sort of place you're allowed to pee outside.
Yeah.
Like if it's someone's garden or whatever, you ask permission, but you go and pee outside because the girls get preference in the bathroom. So if you're a real man, you pee outside if there's that option. The other thing is that you never get into the pool at the shallow end. You never get in at the steps if you're a guy. You have to jump into a pool.
Absolutely.
Am I right?
Absolutely.
So those are two things. And to sit down to pee is just, it's unbelievable to me that people would be volunteering this information.
Yeah. Well, look, Uber drivers don't have this luxury. There's also that. But I just think you're so right that there's certain things as a guy that are just written in stone. You just don't do. And people keep going, you know, nowadays we can do what we want. Like, no, there's a framework in place here over centuries that have defined greatness or just normal kind of things. Yeah. And now they're just...
You're embarrassing everyone else who's human. So, you know what? I don't like this at all. This survey is very deeply disappointing.
Hugely disappointing. There are some other questions coming out here in the comments. What if you have a micro penis? Right. Maybe standing up, if you've got a micro penis, says Vincent, isn't the best thing.
But surely you can still point and aim, even if it's tiny. Let's imagine you've got a penis the size of just the end of your pinky finger. You can still grab hold of that and aim it. I mean, it's a very important skill for a guy to have. You don't want, as a guy, to be peeing all over the place, spraying the floor with pee. You need to gain control of that thing. It's very important.
Yeah. So what's a horrible story. What Don's saying here is that when he lived in Namibia, a lot of guys sat down to pee. So I read that and I thought, how do you know? He says, well, it's because people used to complain about there being pee on the seat.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's another good reason to stand if you can and not have to touch the toilet seat. Especially if you go to a public place. Why would you want to sit down to pee in a public place, right?
Yeah, that's just embarrassing.
Tabo says called dick control. Absolutely. Yeah. And Indy says, oh, wow, for once, South Africa isn't on that list of bad things. Yay, us. Yeah. You'd be hard-pressed to find a South African man who will admit to sitting down when he pees. It's a terrible admission of not really being a proper man. A friend of mine does this, is hanging out with Jay. He says it's because it helps pissing in the bowl. He is black, by the way. Lol. Okay, so...
get your eyes tested.
I don't understand. Still, can't you aim? I mean, this is something very rudimentary. You learn this as a 4-year-old, right?
Yeah.
I think it's a very bad sign. Honestly, men, if you're a man who sits down to pee, I think you've got to give up on life. Like, it's the end for you. Everything else is going to start to fall apart in your life. It's just the first sign of you really giving up on those things that make you a man. Next thing, they'll be measuring how many guys stand and take a shit. Well, funny enough, that's what Carl says. He says, I'm a real man. I stand to shit.
Yeah. But you can't. You have to get into the squat position.
Yeah, I think he's doing
this. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you want to try that, great. But you.
All right. But Lindy does make a good point. She says, South African men should sit down to pee. I'm disturbed by the number of assholes I see peeing on the side of the road. Yeah. I think that's just bad planning. You know, again, these are the sort of people who you must never marry or trust to make decisions or give an important job to, because they don't even have the forward planning ability to go, I'm going to be in the car. I'll need to pee. Let me go to the nearest. Because there are toilets everywhere. Are you kidding? Every garage, shopping mall. You could find a loo almost anywhere. So for someone who's peeing on the side of the road because they're just desperate to pee, that's bad planning. It shows that they're actually the kind of person who has no ability to think forward.
You know, I often think that, you know, I'm kind of working to, when I can build my own house and have like a settled home, like the two things I obviously want are going to be like a sauna and, like, you know, how I position the cold plunge with that. But the third thing I want to have to show real wealth and personality is that I want a urinal. I've always wanted a urinal in my own house. Always.
I think that's a lovely thing to have.
I've always wanted to go to someone's house and see a urinal and then celebrate with them how incredibly forward-thinking they are. I've always wanted that. I just haven't had that moment in my life yet. If you own a urinal in your house, please take a photo. I want to be happy with you.
Yes. I mean, that is truly a sign of great opulence. As a man, if you can actually build in a urinal, then you are truly winning at life.
Well, Gareth, you look at all these simpy men who make man caves. Screw that. Waste of time, stupid. Have a lounge with the rest of your family, but have a urinal. That should be the new man cave. That should be the new masculine flex.
And when people hear you say this, they think it's very odd, especially ladies. They're like, well, why would you want that? Because to stand and pee is a very great privilege. It's something that you want. It's something as a guy that you feel comfortable doing, and it's so much less maintenance. I mean, the toilet's all the way down there, and you know, if you do, let's say there's some spray or whatever, you wipe the seat, all that stuff. Urinal, you're right there. It's at perfect height. Everything's perfect. It's very important. These things, Ben, I'm pleased you acknowledged that. Yeah. That's an important thing. Guys should be saying, and if you're a guy who has a a urinal in your private residence. Wow, that's just magnificent. Good for you.
I'm actually, out of interest, I'm going to find out how much they cost. Maybe there's a Black Friday on a urinal, Gareth.
It's probably not very expensive. And, you know, you just get a good plumber and they can come in and do it for you. I'm pretty sure it would up the selling price of your house.
Yeah, look, at Eurobath and Tile, you can get one for 4,190 rand. A handsome one.
That's quite expensive.
I mean, there are cheaper ones. I mean, if you go to Builders, Icon Urinal Small White, 939.
Listen, while we're talking about this stuff, I saw you do a thing on your Instagram this week that you've got to explain to the rest of us. We've only got a couple of minutes here, but the old man test?
Yeah, so you know, how do you define old people? They don't move very well, right? And that's what makes them very old.
Yeah, I think you're old when you stop moving with ease and comfort. Yeah, I mean, that's right.
Yeah, so if you look at an old person, there's certain things that define them and therefore define why they're old. And one of them is that they're just creaky and they can't move properly. So the old man test is, how do you put on your socks and shoes by standing on one leg? So obviously the shoe, you put it on that foot, you stand on the other leg, and then vice versa. So I put this thing out because, you know, it should be one of those basics, like, you know, standing to pee as a guy, you should be able to also do the old man test. And we don't prioritize these kind of things because we think it's just trivial. But if you have the ability to do that, you'll have the ability to do so many other things. Actually, it's part of my newsletter today that I have with my sort of guys that I focus on. And it's such an important thing to try and realize how shit you are at it. So when you put your shoes on today, try doing it on one leg. Mm-hmm. And when you fall, experience and enjoy that moment of shame and then forever try work on being better.
So explain what you have to do here in detail so we can all just try this. I mean, I would prefer if you just went and saw the video, but just explain it to people who aren't watching.
So for example, stand on your right foot and then you obviously raise your left one. Okay, so you're on one leg. And now put a sock on the left foot while balancing on your right foot. Then put your shoe on the left foot and you're still only on that right foot. So now you're going to feel an intense burning in your glutes. You're going to feel your hamstrings working, all that kind of stuff. You're going to be sweating because it's uncomfortable.
Right.
It sounds so silly, but if you can do that kind of stuff, means that you are naturally quite strong and capable and good balance. If you are carrying too much weight, or if you have no strength in your legs or no balance, these are not good things. You should not have this in your life. It's as simple as that. And the old man test just gives you one of those things. It is so incredibly easy to do and easy to remind you of things you should work on.
And don't feel bad if you fall, because a lot of people will fall.
You will.
Laugh at yourself. And that also keeps you humble.
Yes. And
is that right?
Yeah. It's good to be humble by this kind of stuff. That and pull-ups. That and pull-ups. Do that. You'll be a happier human being.
I'm going to try and do the old man test today. I'm going to see if I can do it without falling.
Everyone, just, you know what, actually film it and then tag me so I can either ridicule you or help you, whichever one you want. So you can just say.
And both are very important. If you want to be, if you want to go through life without being ridiculed and you think that, you know, life is for soft losers, then you need more ridicule in your life.
You do.
That's the reality.
That pushes you towards the better, right?
And Ben is more than happy to dispense ridicule where necessary.
Absolutely, because you need someone like that in your life. And I feel like people don't get ridiculed enough because of so much sensitivity, and it's such an absolute shame. It's a huge disservice to people.
Yeah. Ben, which of your disciples is the Judas Iscariot? Who do you think is going to betray you?
Absolutely. None of them, Carl, because I've also not got close enough to them to be betrayed.
Joking Atheist says the old man test is being able to get your shoes and socks on before the husband makes it to the bedroom.
That one too. See, it's important to have these things, no matter what your environment.
So this is interesting. Shame, we've spoken about him a few times on the show, but in the news this morning, Colombia, the country of Colombia, has started sterilizing hippos descended from animals illegally brought to the country by Pablo Escobar in the 1980s. The hippos, which were originally housed in his private zoo, have spread into nearby rivers and reproduced without any control. And there's nothing that eats them. You know, nothing in the Amazon is big enough to take out a hippo. So they just keep proliferating without any checks and balances.
Well, there was.
So they said.
Hmm? Sorry, the same problem in Miami with anacondas.
Correct. So the hippos are apparently, they're worried because the population could grow to 1,000 by 2035 if it doesn't intervene, the government that is. Hippos have no natural predators, have been declared an invasive species that could upset the ecosystem. Sterilization takes time because spotting and capturing the territorial and aggressive 3-ton animals is complicated. Can you imagine being, I don't know, some kind of animal in the Amazon in South America? Hippos have not ever been there in the memory of any animal. Yeah. And even people, frankly, they've never seen hippos before. And then you go for a swim in the river. You're obviously worried about the local, you know, piranhas or whatever else the hell they have there. And then, you know, a hippo comes out at you. You don't know how to deal with that. That's terrifying. So the poor, you know, I don't know, some local flamingo or something, busy bathing in the river, and then suddenly this giant hippo. And hippos are terrifying. Exactly. They're also extremely dangerous, right? They kill more people than anything except the malaria mosquito.
Yeah.
So when people think about, you think, oh, well, lions, what are the dangerous animals in South Africa, in Africa? Lions, and it's not those, it's hippos. Actually, hippos are the most dangerous of all. You've got to watch out for those bastards.
Seeing a hippo on land is one of the scariest things because they move faster than you can ever imagine.
Terrifying. So I think that's an important story for us to pay attention to this morning. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Temba Robin will join us. Ben and I are here to look after you this Friday morning. It looks like it's going to be a beautiful day today everywhere in South Africa. So enjoy the summer and vase your face, like Ben's t-shirt says this morning. Get ready for that and a whole lot more. Don't go away. CliffCentral.com.